Hello, hello, you guys. Welcome back to Saved Not Soft. I'm loving my background right now. I'm loving the vibe. It's just so cozy. I just redid my whole living room, and I'm looking in my camera, and I'm like, this looks so homey and so beautiful, and it's like so me. So I think this is the setup I'm going to stick with, but let me know how you guys like it. What's going on, y'all? Happy Tuesday, if you're listening on a Tuesday. I hope you guys have been doing so, so good. I just know God has been moving so crazy the past few weeks. And I'm just, man, so blessed. But yeah, if this is your first time, my name is Emmy Moore. I'm the host of this podcast. And yeah, this is Save Not Soft. The whole goal of this podcast is for you to know that you are heard, loved, and seen by Christ. And this is not a soft journey. Like, this is, girly, this is hard. And this is just supposed to give you really applicable resources for your walk with Christianity. And just a platform to let you know how much God loves you. And at the same time, how this isn't just a, oh, I could do whatever I want and expect that to be blessed. Like, this podcast is supposed to reintroduce the reverence of God and give you applications of how we could respect God, receiving his blessings, and how we could step into that favor that he has promised us. So today I'm super excited because, just like every other episode, because I feel like this is definitely going to be one of my more vulnerable episodes. And even just studying it, I was crying. Yeah, and I just know that this is going to reach so many people. We're going to be in the book of Genesis today, specifically the story of Joseph. I believe it starts in chapter 38. So if you guys want to turn there, that's great. I'm going to pray us in. You already know how it is. And we're going to go straight to scripture. And we're going to talk about how you're going to triumph over your trauma today. Simply, no excuses. We're going to do it. Nothing's going to hold us back. We're going to get to the Christ bag. We're going to get into our favor, y'all, and no longer allow trauma to stop us from the glory we're supposed to encounter. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for your name. I thank you for this platform. I thank you for the opportunity that you have given me to speak and to lead women. I praise your name, Father God, that you have given me the opportunity to triumph over my trauma. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, that I went through this whole process for the sole purpose to teach other women just like me that their trauma is not going to be the thing that holds them back, that there is better, that there is another day, that there is glory on the other side, that you have promised us authority, that you have promised us favor, that you have promised us a blessed life, God. I just pray and decree and declare that we walk into this message with your arms covering us in safety, Father God. I pray that you speak to the women whose hearts have been broken, and I pray that this message just mends it all together, God. I just pray that you make their hearts so full, and I pray that the women who are, or even men who are watching this podcast, Father God, that they leave fulfilled, that they leave satisfied in your presence, and they leave free, Jesus. I decree and declare freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. I loosen everything that is not from God, and I bind everything that is coming against the daughters and sons of Christ, Father God. I silence the attacks of the enemy. I silence every insecurity. I silence every negative thought. I cast down every vain imagination and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. And I give you everything, God. I give you this platform. I give you my will. I just pray that you give me the confidence to speak, that everything that comes out of my mouth flows correctly, that everything is articulated by your will. Everything that is said is out of your spirit. Holy Spirit, let this be your stage to talk. Let this be your place to speak your goodness, God. Remind us that there is victory in you, and we have the opportunity to step in it. So I just thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you that I get to lead these people and watch people be free. And we're just asking that you stay close and your loving spirit just falls on us. Thank you, Jesus, for being so near, for being so close. We love you. We praise you. And we're so excited to hear what you have to say. Let our ears be tuned to your voice. In Jesus' name, I seal this prayer. Amen. I'm already really, not me about to eat the mic. I'm already really passionate about this message because this is my favorite Bible story. This is my favorite Bible character. And oh my gosh, already getting emotional. What the freak? Okay, starting out with tears. No, suck it back in. I feel really sensitive and passionate about the story of Joseph because it literally is my testimony in like biblical form. And I'm so excited to read this with you guys. There's going to be a lot of Bible, a lot of scripture. I'm going to read as much as I can without boring you guys to death. But the story of Joseph, I kid you not, is the thing that saved me from being dictated by my trauma. And I think something that we're seeing in today's culture is that, and this is great, that we're normalizing inner child healing, that we're focusing on the simple matter of the fact that we've been hurt, that we've been literally dragged through the mud, that there have been things that have happened to us that are unfair. And I think sometimes when we revisit our trauma, it's really easy to stay stuck in the trauma. And I want to talk about today how it may have not been your fault, but it is now your responsibility. And trauma is very tricky because we have all been done dirty. There have been things that I've gone through where I wasn't seeing justice and I still haven't. And the grace and the goodness and the love of God saved me and filled me in a way that I never thought I would ever be filled or healed. The biggest motivation of today is God does not want you to stay in your trauma. And like how I said earlier, it's easy a lot of the times when we revisit our trauma that we get stuck in it. And I want to help you guys create a balance between visiting your trauma so you could share it from a testimonial point of view, but how to not let your trauma triumph over your life, but rather how you could triumph over your trauma and how you have the authority to cast down every vain imagination and pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. Just like 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, and the verse before that says that the weapons God has given us are not carnal, but they are mighty. This is an authority that we have the ability to step in. And if Romans 8 says that we are more than conquerors through Christ, then we can conquer our trauma. And I want to help you guys with that today because there's authority, there is power, and there's so much healing that God wants you to encounter. And before I start reading the story of Joseph, I want to let you guys know you are heard, you are seen, and you are so loved. And I don't know what you've been through. I bet it sure as heck was not easy. And I just want to help you like get over that lump that's in your life. Because it can't stay anymore. Like, I see you, I hear you, I love you, but we can't stay in the pit when God has called us to be in a palace. So that's my heart behind this, because I'm so motivated to just elevate in the spirit and not stay in the trauma, because that's where Satan wants you. You could conquer it, and we're going to talk about that today. Hope you guys already turned to Genesis 37. I'm going to kind of go through the story of Joseph. We're going to go all the way to chapters 45, which is crazy. I'm not going to read everything verbatim. I'm going to kind of chop up everything, but still incorporate a lot of scripture. I want to share with you guys that the story of Joseph is super important because the story of Joseph shows how Joseph went from the pit to the palace, that Joseph was thrown very unfortunate circumstances. But Joseph didn't allow his trauma to triumph over the calling that God had over his life. Joseph instead used his pain for power. God used his pain for power. God turned his groans into glory. And the story of Joseph gives us a very raw template of how we could conquer the things that have happened to us, and how we could step into God's anointing, while also understanding that things that are very unfair are going to be thrown at us. So let's talk about Joseph. Let's talk about this story. It starts in chapter 37. It starts off with Jacob, aka Israel. He had 12 sons, and Joseph, who was the last son, he was favored because he was like miracle child. Even he was favored so much, he was given this rainbow robe, and I feel like this is what people know Joseph the most for. He had like the rainbow robe. Bro looks fly. Super quick side note, but it's gonna play into this episode. When I was a kid, my dad gave me a children's Bible. And it has like all the pictures of all the Bible characters. And I remember when I was a kid, my favorite Bible character was Joseph. And it's so funny because I didn't even know God like that. But whenever I would go through the little children's book, I always loved reading Joseph because they painted him with this like super fly rainbow coat on, and y'all know I love fashion. So when I was a kid, I was like fascinated by Joseph's robe, and I was like, I'm him, I like him, like Joseph, me, we're locked in. So even when I was a kid, I was just always gravitated to the story of Joseph. But in the story of Joseph, Joseph was favored. And this was pointed out in the very beginning of Joseph's story, that he was favored not just by God, but also by his father Israel, so much to where he was granted this beautiful, colorful robe that was made to celebrate him. And so Joseph was favored by God, and he started to have these dreams. The first dream that we hear about in scripture is Joseph had a dream that basically he was ruling over his brothers and over his family, not in a dictatorship type of way, but in a way that God was going to elevate him in a position of leadership, even over his brothers. And his brothers did not like that at all. And Joseph was just excited to share his dream. He's like a little 17-year-old boy. And he's like, hey, I got this really cool dream. Let me tell it to y'all. And out of Joseph's excitement, his brothers became envious and jealous, which is what scripture says in chapter 37, that his brothers became jealous. And they eventually plotted to kill him and said, know what, Joseph? We're not rocking with the simple matter of the fact that you just had a dream and you told us that you're going to rule over us. Like, we don't like that. And you already got this robe. Like, why you got a robe and we don't got this robe? That's literally how Joseph's brothers were operating, out of hatred, out of jealousy, out of envy, out of absolute malice. And this is where we get to the point of the story, to where something very fair happens to Joseph. The thing that he was supposed to be celebrated for was the thing that was torn off of his back. We get to a point of the story, and this is where chapter 38 starts, is his brothers plot to kill Joseph. And how this happened is Joseph went to go look for his brothers, and they threw him into a pit. And they did plan to kill him. And then one of the brothers was like, nah, let's just like sell him into slavery. Like, let's just give him to the Egyptians. Like, that's any better. You know, I think that's just as harsh. I think that's just as mean, you know? But they did that. And I just want to read just a little bit of it. My Bible ended up closing on accident, but we'll figure it out. Or actually chapter 37, not 38. But it said, now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem in Israel, which is Jacob, Joseph's father. Said to Joseph, as you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, and I am going to send you to them. Very well, he replied. So he said to them, Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me. Then he set them off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He said, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they're going, grazing their flocks? They have moved from here to there," a man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come on now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the wilderness, but do not lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty, and there was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." And his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came, his brother pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels. Sorry, I can't believe they'd be selling whatever of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cisterns and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" When they got Joseph's robes, they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. And they took the ornate robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it and see whether if it's your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put a sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. All of his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him. Ma'am, I want to point out a few things about this, because this is where I can see a lot of my personal testimony, and where I feel like a lot of you guys can relate when it comes to the story of Joseph, and when it comes to encountering a situation that was never ever supposed to happen to you. I just want to talk about how in the beginning of this story, there was favor on Joseph, and this beautiful robe that was placed on Joseph was the thing that was pretty much a symbolism of celebration. That robe was placed on Joseph as a symbol of celebration for his life. And the very thing that Joseph was supposed to be celebrated for was the very thing that his own people stripped him of. And I relate to that a lot. And this is where I could cry. And not because I'm stuck here, but because it's real. I've gone through so many situations. Oh gosh. Just as a kid, where circumstances were dealt badly, and there were a lot of times where I should have been celebrated, and the people who were made to celebrate me were the people who tore me to pieces. And I relate to that a lot. I just knew I was gonna cry today. I relate to that a lot, and I see Joseph in this. Because I was Joseph. I was thrown in a pit by the people who were supposed to take care of me. Whether if it was their intention or not, I felt the bottom of a pit. And I want to let y'all know today, from someone who's touched the bottom of a pit, praise God, I've touched just a little bit of the palace, to let you guys know that there is a way out. And the story of Joseph is biblical evidence that you can triumph over your trauma, that the things that have happened to you, your circumstances, will never rule you. They will if you let it, but if you step in the authority and the power of God, man, there's so much reward. And you will walk in the land of milk and honey. So I'm just crying because even remembering that place is like, man, that's crazy because God has just delivered me to new heights, to where even thinking that I was that low is really wild. So I relate to that a lot. If you've been at the bottom of the pit, you know it's not a fun place. And maybe you're there now. If you're there now, I want to encourage you, one, to keep listening to this episode. And two, that things have to move forward. That if you're in a situation that seems impossible to escape, I'm about to read you so many incidents that Joseph was in to where it seemed impossible to escape. But yet, because of the favor that God had on his life, he was able to escape it. Just like how I was able to escape from a place that looked impossible to run from. God has given me a map to run out of and guidance and grace and wisdom. So if he could do it for me, he could most definitely do it for you. And if he could do it for Joseph, who was physically sold into slavery by his own brothers, he could do it for you. Absolutely. So I want to encourage you that if you're there right now, you can't stay there, whether if you do something about it or not. There is always sunshine after a storm. A storm can't last forever. You're going against the physics of nature. And if sunshine has to come after a storm, that means like happiness, joy, whatever it may be, has to come and fall into your lap soon. So I just want to encourage you. Man, crying. Jump into chapter 39. A very similar story about what happened with Joseph and his brothers. So I'm going to summarize this super quick because I don't feel like reading the whole thing. And I feel like I'm pretty good at summarizing. But what ended up happening was Joseph was sold into slavery. And basically he found favor with one of Pharaoh's officials, Potiphar. And Potiphar was like, hey, I like this guy. There's favor on him. I want him to be the head of my household. And I just like him, right? So he finds favor on Joseph. That's what it says in scripture. And he makes him in charge of the household. Well, what's her name? I almost said Bathsheba, but that's David's baby mama. Potiphar's wife, though, this adulterous, sinister, wrong-motived woman, sees Joseph and she likes how handsome he is. She sees the favor that's on his life. And she's basically like, come sleep with me. And Joseph's like, girlie, what's wrong with you? And she was begging Joseph to, like, it literally said that she was pleading for Joseph, desperate, first of all, for Joseph to sleep with her. And he was like, nah, like, there's favor on my life. And, like, I'm not doing that. Girlie, what's going on? And just like how Joseph's brother stripped the robe off of Joseph, the same thing happened. It actually says in scripture that, Skim, where are we at? When she saw he had left his cloak in her hand and had run away. Oh, wait. One more up. One day he went into the house and attended his duties. And none of the household servants was inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. Like, obviously, you adulterous woman. When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to him, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story, that the Hebrew slave you brought onto us came onto me and make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. There's something so significant about Joseph's story, about how the thing he was celebrated for, the symbolism of it, the robe, that his brother stripped him of it. And also that Potiphar's wife stripped him. they rip, like the ripping of the cloak is significant within itself, because I would just like to prompt the question, just like Joseph, have you ever been stripped from an experience or something that you were supposed to be celebrated for? Have you ever been stripped from something that was good for you? Have you ever been stripped from something that you were promised? Have you ever been stripped from something that you were supposed to step into, and by the hands of others, you weren't able to experience those things because of an unfortunate circumstance and an unfair circumstance that happened to you? Just like Joseph, that is us. We have been stripped from so much stuff. On a personal note, I can't tell you how many times I've had opportunities and experiences that were supposed to be for good, but because of the hands of others, I wasn't able to experience what God originally designed because people weren't stepping in his will. So my cloak was stripped off of me by the hands of others. I just want to say that if that's you, you're heard, seen, and validated through all of that. I'm emphasizing this because scripture does. And the story of Joseph is intricate and lengthy because the long going of his suffering is really important to notice, especially when you go towards the end of his story, because God is present through all of it, and God's still favoring Joseph through all of this. So after Potiphar's wife was a snitch, he got thrown into jail, obviously, because because she basically lied on his name, and then she's like, oh my gosh, he did all this stuff to me, people are gonna believe her, and they threw him into prison. And while he's in prison, well, we know that Joseph's a dreamer, okay? We opened up the story of Joseph with Joseph having a dream, and Joseph also had the ability and the divine gifting to interpret dreams. So while he's in prison, the warden actually makes him like pretty much the leader of the prison, like within sight of it, not above the warden, but right below it. So it's so funny, no matter what circumstance you're in, whether if it's for good or for bad, in God's favor will always remain the same. Let me say that again, because I felt like I butchered that. No matter what circumstance you're in, the favor that God has on you will always be prevalent. Because the story of Joseph, it said in the beginning, even before his brothers threw him into slavery, he was favored. Even whenever Joseph met Potiphar and his wife, he was favored within that household, to where Potiphar exalted him to a higher position. Even when Joseph came into prison, the warden blessed him with a leadership position. No matter what circumstance you're in, if you are favored by God, God will even use you in any circumstance, in any scenery, in anything, to exalt you to the calling that he has over your life. So we know that the favor that God had over Joseph was so true that no matter where he went, he was bound to be a leader. And God made that prevalent in whatever door he walked through. So just know that your circumstance can't change the favor that God has on your life, whether if it was your fault or not, because Joseph was going through things that was not his fault, and he was still called, and he was still exalted to that calling in a prison cell. So if God could do this for Joseph, how much more can he exalt your calling in the circumstance that you're in? Just want to give you perspective on that. But so he was thrown into jail, and there was a cupbearer. What a cupbearer is right next to Pharaoh, basically like a little servant. And then a baker. And I don't know what they did. I forgot. Maybe I think they got Pharaoh angry or something. Obviously, they in there. But they had dreams, and they're like, oh, we're concerned. What's going on? Joseph ended up interpreting the dreams to both of them. The cupbearer and the baker both had a dream. Basically, the baker's dream was pretty much his own death note. Joseph was like, yeah, you're gonna die as soon as you leave this cell. And then as the cupbearer, he was like, you will be assigned back to your position next to Pharaoh. And so they ended up being released from jail. And that exactly, it happens because Joseph's favored by God, and the dreams that was interpreted by God who had favor over Joseph. And the thing that Joseph said to the cupbearer, because he knew he was going to live and the baker was gone, he said, don't forget me. Like, please remember me. And please tell Pharaoh about how I interpreted your dream. And the cupbearer is like, okay, bet. And then he leaves jail. And the very thing that happened in his dream unfolds. And all of a sudden, he forgets to tell Pharaoh. So Joseph stuck in jail for 2 more years, being forgotten, betrayed, and abandoned, when he served these people and restored them to the position that they were in prior. I could only imagine Joseph, which also, I've been there. There's been times where I've been helping and I've been serving and I was forgotten and abandoned and betrayed and left for absolute dirt. And I think sometimes we can read the story of Joseph and be like, how does someone forget that? How does someone forget how does someone forget the very reason as to how you left the prison in the first place? Like, that is miraculous. How do you forget a miracle? I really do believe it was the grace of God upon that cupbearer. And God allowed that cupbearer to forget so that Joseph had more time to forgive and forget. Because imagine having all that emotion and you're in a prison and you're having all of this, energy to escape the prison for the sole purpose of revenge. The Bible doesn't necessarily instigate this, but I'm just going to like take it from a more practical view. What just came out of my mouth? I'm going to take it from a more practical view. If my brother sold me into slavery and if some adulterous woman threw me into prison, I'm going to be livid. Absolutely. I really do believe the grace of God was upon Joseph and God allowed the period of time to go by so that Joseph can grow closer to God. And so that when God says vengeance is mine, he really means it. And I really do believe it was grace that God allowed Joseph to stay in that prison. Because imagine if he did leave 2 years earlier. If God wanted Joseph to leave that prison, he would have left earlier. We know that Joseph is favored by God, and we know that Joseph was being obedient. So that just tells me that everything that happened with that whole prison situation was ordained by God. Which will kind of go into like why God allows certain things to happen later on in the story. But that's just kind of a side note and just kind of like side commentary. But how Joseph ends up leaving the prison was Pharaoh had a dream, and it freaked him out. He called all the magicians, he called all the witchcraft people, all the warlocks and wizards and stuff. They couldn't do a dang thing for bro. And then the cupbearer was like, oh yeah, like that reminds me, while I was in prison 2 years ago, there was a man in there who interpreted my dream and it became true. And if I was Joseph, I would have been so sick. I would have been like, bruh, barely. But you know, God's rejection is redirection. So Pharaoh was like, if you don't get that boy. And Joseph went to Pharaoh, he interpreted his dream, basically saying that there was going to be 7 years of harvest and 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh was like, bet, I'm going to put you in a leadership position right below me. And Joseph literally became one of the biggest leaders under Pharaoh because of the favor that God had on him. And then Pharaoh had favor on Joseph because of the anointing and the gifting that was on Joseph's life. So this is where we're at now. Joseph is in Egypt doing his thing, right? And I believe it's Egypt. If not, correct me. But he's under Pharaoh, and exactly what he predicted happened. 7 years of harvest, 7 years of famine. And this is the part of the story I really want to touch on. Because Joseph went from the pit to the palace. We see how God used his pain for power, how God took Joseph's pain, his pit situation, and turned it into eternal glory, and how all of this was done out of God's provision. And I just want to encourage you guys that no matter what you go through, continue to be obedient to God's voice. Because when you're in seasons of trauma, it's very tempting to be obedient to your circumstances and to remain unfaithful, unforgiving, and full of wrath and anger and sorrow. Continue to press in and be obedient to God's voice. Because Joseph was obedient to God. And I really do believe that through the fire and through Joseph's obedience, that favor was fair upon Joseph's life, because he endured his seasons and he reaps what he sowed, basically. So yeah, just want to say that. And then we get to Genesis. I'm actually going to use my phone for this one because I put some notes. We get to Pharaoh's dreams. And then we get to the point of the story where it gets real juicy in his brother's return. Here's one thing. No matter how dirty people do you, somehow they always going to turn back. They're always going to spin the block. I don't know why. I don't know how. It's God's divine destiny. But the same people that started Joseph's traumatic story, his testimony full of drama, is the same people that he's about to encounter right now. And it says, I'm in the right one. There we go. I'm going to read in Genesis 42, verse 1 through 8. When Jacob learned that there was grain in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you keep looking at each other?" He continued, "I've heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy some for us so that we may live and not die." Then 10 of Joseph's brothers went down and bought grain from Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with the others because he was afraid that harm might come to him. So Israel's sons were among those who went to buy grain. For there was a famine in the land of Canaan also. Now Joseph was the governor of the land, the person who sold grain to all of its people. So when Joseph's brothers arrived, they bowed down to them with their faces to the ground. As soon as Joseph saw his brothers, he recognized them. But he pretended to be a stranger and spoke harshly to them. "Where do you come from?" he asked. "From the land of Canaan," they replied, "to buy food." Although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. Have you ever gone through the fire to where you came out unrecognizable? This is what it looks like to trauma. This is what it looks like to triumph from your trauma. God will take you through the fire and he will refine you, that the things that were causing you absolute the things that were causing absolute sorrow to your life, God can use that to paint a completely different picture. What I'm trying to say is the circumstances that you're going through, God can paint that picture into something else. And Joseph was unrecognizable because it was no longer the Joseph that his brothers recognized. It was a new, refined, healed version. And this is what God wants to do through our trauma. He doesn't want us to simmer in our trauma or to be in bondage by our past experiences, but he wants us to elevate and move on. And our trauma could be a part of our testimony, but it cannot be. Our trauma could be a part of our testimony, but it cannot be the current circumstance and revelation that we're living in now. And when it comes to the story of Joseph, from going from the pit to the palace, you can't be in the palace and still remain in the pit. You can't be in the palace and have a pit man. Oh my gosh. You can't be in the palace and have a pit mentality. Do you get what I'm saying? So God wants to elevate you to a position. And in order to do so, you need to go through the fire. And God does need to refine you. And when he does that, you're going to look unrecognizable to the very people who threw you into the fire, or threw you into the trauma, or threw you into the hurt. So just know that through God, all things are possible, and that he's literally going to turn your mourning into dancing. So I just think it's really beautiful that it says that. But as you go further down in the verse, it's really sad because Joseph was kind of playing this game with his brothers for a little bit. He was like, okay, they don't know I'm Joseph, but I know that these are my brothers. So I'm just going to kind of like play this game to where like, I don't know them. Eventually it started to eat him alive, just like how it would for us. But something that had me like weeping as I was studying, is that even Joseph encountering his brothers, he started to mourn and weep. Verse 24 and 42 says, he turned away from them and began to weep. But when he came back and spoke to them, he said, he had Simon taken from them and bound before their eyes. So basically, he like made a deal. This is what happens next. He takes Simon, which is like the youngest son that was there, and he says, okay, go back to your city, bring back Benjamin. And then once you bring back Benjamin, I'll bring Simon back to you. Why did he do this? Basically, he wanted to see if his brothers were trustworthy. One, and two, he wanted his father to come back as well. He wanted to see his dad because he knew his dad didn't throw him into the cistern. You know, his dad didn't throw him into the palace or into the pit. He wanted to reconcile with him again. So going to chapter 43, he sees Benjamin, and it says, deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried and looked out for a place to weep. He went to his private room and wept there. Like, there's a lot of weeping that Joseph went through. Like, you just see Joseph's heart posture through this whole story of how he's just weeping and crying, and how even the sight of his brothers was really sad. And I relate to this because even when you're in the palace and you see things from the pit, it does make you sad. And I will say, though, that I bet Joseph's tears wasn't like tears of anger. I believe they were tears of wanting to love and show compassion towards his family, from a personal experience. There was stuff that has happened to me, especially from like authoritative figures in my life, that like really hurt me. Like, I've came on here, I've talked about like, how like my dad, like really my relationship with my dad is like really rocky, and how that threw me to pieces. And it's so funny because when you watch my first episode and you're here now, there's so much that God has done, and there's been about 2 years of silence between me and my dad. Like, we haven't talked anything. Just like how there was 2 years of Joseph in prison. And the past 2 years, I've lost all that anger. Like, when I think of the things that have happened to me now, they're no longer tears of anger or of sorrow. They're actually tears of, like, I miss my dad. And yeah, it's so interesting because even a year ago, me would have thought I would never get over my trauma. And here I am actually wanting, or actually already forgiving the people who hurt me, and now wanting a relationship with them. So how you know you triumphed over your trauma is when forgiveness literally resides in you, and to where anger has left your body. Because now I'm in a posture to where I just want to help. I want to serve. And I want to reconcile. And I really do believe that was Joseph's heart in this story, was to reconcile with his family. And I feel like when you're first experiencing your trauma and you're going through the motions and you're realizing how jacked up it's got you, like, you don't want nothing to do with nobody. But once God really refines your heart and shows you that the problem isn't necessarily people, it's the spirit behind it, his love just fills up your heart. And I guess that's my prayer for this episode, is that God just fills your guys' hearts up with love and forgiveness, and gives you a posture, or gives you a place to where you could be in a posture to grieve and to be sad, but also not to stay trapped there, to where God could elevate you out of the principles of love. So yeah, go down a verse where it's a chapter 45. It says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all of his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph, and he had made himself known to his brothers. So this is the part to where he was like, okay, I'm done with the games. I'm telling my brothers, this is me. And he wept so loudly, oh gosh, that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer them because they were terrified by his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When Joseph had done so, he said, I'm your brother Joseph, the one you sold to Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save the lives that God had sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God had sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father of Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not delay. And it says that he kissed all of his brothers and wept all over them after his brothers talked with him. And what I want to say in this story is the biggest thing out of all of this, if you didn't listen to anything, pay attention right now. It says, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father of Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt for the sole purpose to save his brother lives and the people in Egypt. Understand that the fire that God puts you through, he allows it to happen because he knows you can endure it. I look at my fiery situations and I could be mad and throw these fits all day long. Why did I go through this? Why was this my destiny? Why did I have to go through the fire? I had to go through the fire so I smelt the smoke. God trusted me with the storm, and he trusted me with the storm so I could elevate from it. And when you elevate from the storm and you elevate from the fire, he's going to put you in a position of favor. And it's so beautiful that Joseph recognized that the situation that his brothers put him in, God used that for his eternal glory. Just like our situations, your triumph, whatever it may be, or your trauma, and your circumstances, whatever it may be, just know that God has called you to triumph over it. And he has placed you in the situation that you're in right now, or he's allowing it to happen because he trusts you with it. And because with fire, there comes elevation. So know that everything that is happening in your life and everything that has happened is not done in vain. Nothing is. Nothing is. It may have not been your fault, but it is now your responsibility. So move in obedience. There's big points I would like to make. First one being favor. I think a huge thing, my boyfriend talked about this on a TikTok post, and when I saw him last, we were talking about this, is I think it's a really common saying to say, like, oh, favor isn't fair. But I would like to say that favor actually is fair, because in order to encounter favor, you have to go through the fire. Favor is fair because of the fire that you go through. Favor and obedience go hand in hand. Favor remains upon a faithful person when they're obedient. So just know that the favor that was upon Joseph was fair because he was obedient and he endured the fire. So just know that if you're enduring the fire and you're staying obedient and you're literally just staying under the hand of God, favor is over your life, and there's no way that God is going to allow you to stay in your circumstance when he has called you to elevation. It's just a matter of time. So yeah, just know that your favor is in response to the fire that you go through. Do we understand? Second point, God will turn your pain into power. Joseph being in prison was mercy so he could forgive his brothers. Like, that time, that separation was mercy. So when his brothers came back, he reconciled with his brothers with a forgiving heart, right? Yeah, absolutely. And then forgiveness. What it means to forgive means to stop feeling angry or resentful towards someone for an offense or flaw or mistake. God wants you to encounter forgiveness. And if you're listening to this episode and you're like, Amy, you're telling me to triumph over my trauma? My circumstances suck. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Let me give you a few verses. First one being, I just want to encourage y'all. Hold on. Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me right now? I feel like I got interrupted in the spirit. Oh. Here's the thing, y'all. We could sit here all day and allow our trauma to triumph over our lives. But I just want to instill authority and power over your life right now and just speak true biblical authoritative. Like, I just want to speak truth over y'all right now. What does the Bible say? When you have authority and power, how do we know this? Because you are the head and not the tail, according to Deuteronomy 28:13, and that you are above and not beneath, and how Luke 10:19 says that you will tread on scorpions and serpents, that you have the authority to do so. And then also 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, that the weapons that God has given us are not carnal, but they are mighty. And we have the ability and authority to cast down every stronghold, imagination, pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. Your thought, your trauma is in lordship. Like literally your trauma, your circumstances, the things that you've gone through, they are subjected under Christ. They are under Christ's lordship. What else does the Bible say? Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Matthew 16:17, the gates of hell shall not prevail. This is all biblical authority. So if you don't think that you can't triumph over your trauma, the Bible is physical evidence that we are more than conquerors through Christ, just like Romans 8. We have been given power and dominion. Why do you think that's one of the first things that's said in the Bible in Genesis 1:28? We have authority and dominion. The power and the love of God can set you free. You're not meant, you were never designed to stay in your cycles. You were designed to conquer them. And the Bible is equipped with the resources and applications for you to stand in your authority and triumph over your trauma. So don't allow your current circumstance to define your destiny when God has called you higher. That's it. That is it. That's it. Yep, that's it. God is good. Oh my gosh, have we forgotten we serve a good God? You think God is going to keep you where you're at? Maybe endure it a little longer for the sole purpose for what does it say in James? Like, so your pain can be turned into perseverance. Like, maybe God will allow you to endure things for a certain while for the sole purpose to grow your testimony. But you think he's really going to keep you there for the rest of your life? Have we forgotten that our God is good? Have we forgotten that there is favor upon God's children? That we are co-heirs of Christ? That yes, we receive his sufferings, but have we forgotten that we receive his blessings? Remember that God is good. I feel like a lot of the times we could talk about the wrath of God. Like, have we forgotten how good God is? God is so good. Step in the evidence. Stay obedient. Just know that everything you're going through right now is not done in vain. It's not. It's not. I'm done, y'all. I'm done. And I'm done because God did his thing. Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna keep my announcement super short. Man, so good. Please let me know what you guys think about this episode, because I'm gonna watch this right now, and I just know God went stupid crazy. Few things. First of all, if you guys got your Save Not Soft tea, thank you so much. It has been such a busy week in the Moore household, and I got all of them packed. They're being shipped out this week. Super excited. Thank you guys for supporting the merch. More stuff coming soon. I'm super excited for that. If you feel led to tithe, there is a link down below. And if you can't tithe, prayer, please. If anything, that's what I really need the most is prayer. Just please pray for this ministry. Please pray for my mental space. And that I become a better leader each and every single day. It's super important to pray for your leader. So please pray for me, that God just continuously makes me a great leader. And then last thing, if you need prayer or if you've been saved recently through one of my podcasts, there is a link down below so I could pray for you. And yeah, that's that. This was a long episode, but I do not mind. I do not mind. This was so good. I hope this has blessed you, because it's blessed me more than you guys could imagine. So God is good. God is really good. He's so good. Thank you guys for listening. I hope this podcast has blessed you, this episode. And yeah, dang, And that's that. Just go and triumph. Go and be everything God has called you to be. He's called you higher. Touch and agree with it. Touch and agree. Let's end off this episode saying, I will triumph over my trauma. Say it again. I will triumph over my trauma. I like that. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. God has called you higher. Step in it. I love you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Love you. Bye.